Jim Stovall is back with us, and I'm very happy about it. Last week, we talked about, of course, the Winner's Wisdom column, which Jim posts every week at jimstovall.com, and you should get it. If you go there and sign up, it'll show up in your inbox, and then you can hang out with us. But we also talked about Jim's new book, Words That Shaped Our World, Volume 2, which came out last Tuesday. And now I just understand here, Jim, you had a second book come out last week, Giving the Ultimate Gift. Yeah. How did I miss this one?
I don't know how you miss things, Mike, but it's just things we've come to expect. But no, Giving the Ultimate Gift came out Thursday and has jumped onto a couple of the bestseller lists, and I'm very grateful for that. And so both books are doing well, and it's two different publishers, and obviously they don't communicate, and nobody's changing. And now I've told the team, no more books till at least fall. So that's where we're at.
Now, I wonder, just as a crazy sidebar question, with two different publishers, two different books, have you got them competing to see who can do a better job getting them out there and selling them?
A little bit. You kind of play one against the other sometimes. You know, I have a publisher that does my movie stuff, books on that, and then the novels, and then business books, and then the more motivational. So we have four or five usual suspects we work with, and they're all good at what they do, but some of them have a little more expertise in one area than another.
Well, that's good. I'm just curious. I think there is a competition because you want to then call your other publishing company and go, well, you know, ABC Publishing has got me on the top of this list, and you guys are over here. You know, we need to step it up a little bit. A little competition's good for everybody, I think.
Oh, that's what I do in the media. I mean, don't make me guys tell you what Opelka's paying me on this deal.
Close your eyes. You'll see what he's paying me right now.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about this week's Winner's Wisdom column, Jim, because it goes back to your early days when you were in the investment world business. What's the lesson you're trying to give us today?
Well, thanks to our federal government and the Investor Act of 1933, every investor that puts money into stocks or bonds or things, you have to give them a document called a prospectus. This is so they'll fully understand what it is. And the next person that understands a prospectus will be the first one in history. It's 50 to 80 pages of undecipherable stuff, but it gives the past of all that this investment has ever done. And then on the front of every prospectus, you have to note, past results don't indicate future success. I mean, you have to put on there that, well, you know, maybe it doesn't guarantee it, but that's all we have. All we can do to predict the future is look at the past. And I remember a number of years ago, Warren Buffett was at one of his conferences I happened to attend, and they were asking him about different sectors and what they do. And he was asked, what do you think the number one candy bar will be going forward? He said, Snickers. It has been for 40 years. It will be. And I thought, wow, is it that simple? Well, here we are 15 years later, and when I wrote this column, I checked, it's still the number one candy bar. And we learn that in life with people, with things. Very rarely do people fundamentally change. Now, you don't want to prejudge everything, but, you know, past behavior is a pretty good indicator. Newton's law told us objects in motion tend to stay in motion, objects at rest tend to stay at rest, unless they're acted on by something pretty dramatic. And when I was writing this column, we had a high school intern with us for the month, a young lady. She was 16, turned 17 the month she was with us. So I said, when you get together with your friends, 16, 17, what do kids talk about these days? She said, well, you know, the basketball game coming up and the test and who's dating who and what kind of job we're going to get. And I said, you know, that's what my parents and my grandparents talked about. I mean, you know, there are some things that just never change. And we have to be careful when we look at, you know, past performance. It's not a guarantee, but it's the best indicator we have.
Two things. You're 1,000% correct on the prospectus because I get them all the time. And I've yet to fully understand any of them. And when our guy calls us, I'm like, oh, yes, I read that. I didn't understand it, but I read it. And then that statement that past performance is no indication or promise of future success, et cetera, that's got to be from the legal department. That can't be from anybody who's trying to sell you an investment. I'm sure that's the lawyers putting up some sort of bulletproof language to keep them from getting sued.
Well, I was in the business when they broke up AT&T. You know, for your younger listeners, AT&T used to be one company. If you wanted a phone, you went to the phone company, and they gave you the device, they installed it, they sent you the bill. Life was simple. You want a phone, call the phone company. It's like if you want electricity, call the electric company. It was that simple. And then they broke them up, and it was supposedly for our good. I never understood that completely. So all my customers, the clients that had AT&T stock, had to come in, and we had to switch it. I had to give them this unbelievable perspective, saying that there's no guarantee AT&T will survive. They may not have a future. They may, you know, and it would scare you to death if you ever read it, but most people never did. And they're indecipherable. I ask our compliance people in New York, can I market these as a sleep aid? I'm 10 pages of this, you are sound asleep. There's no way. I think it would be wonderful.
Yes, and you wouldn't have the pharmacological issues that some people have with other sleep aids that are out there. I love the fact that we're still asking the same questions as young people that our parents and our grandparents did, and that we oftentimes overlook that our behavior rarely changes because our goals, our desires don't always change that much. But you got to pay attention to what happened before. Not so much for the results, but for what people did, what people's actions were like, because what they did in the past is likely going to be what's going to happen tomorrow or in the future.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend, a young lady, and she was interested in this gentleman, and I kind of look out for her, so I did a little research. I said he's been divorced 3 times. He has children by all 3 women, and he seems to run through their money, and about that time, he leaves. And she said, yeah, but he has changed. It is different. I said, okay. Here we are 3 or 4 years later. He has run through her money and left, and she has a child. It's like that Aesop's fable with the turtle and the snake, or whatever it is. And the turtle helps him out, and then the snake bites him. And he said, why'd you do that? Because I'm a snake. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And there are people, you don't even have to think about how they're going to respond. You just, you know, bring them into your mind, and you know that's what they'll do. It's important to get that perspective.
Past is prologue, people. And this week's column, Betting on the Past, from Jim Stovall, is available at jimstovall.com. It'll show up in your inbox, and then Jim and I break it down and talk about a couple other things every now and then. Jim, thank you again. Appreciate you, and good luck with both books out there. Of course,
thank you.
Words That Shaped Our World, Volume 2, and Giving the Ultimate Gift. Two different books from Jim Stovall. You can get them both. There's no law against that. And we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, sir.